my poems are all fairly short, so you won't concentrate too long, thank you, I won't concentrate too long. My dad used to drink in school years and years and years ago before he immigrated in the 1950s, and he tells this story about meeting his brother here. His brother was about to emigrate to America, and my father had foolishly promised him some money that he didn't have. I was helping with the journey, and dad then actually won the money on the horses. So maybe dirty wasn't the one. And they just got light skin. My father is 88 years old, an often silent man from a generation of silent men that emigrated with suitcases wrapped in string to lie awake in another country, staring at their lives through the ceiling, remembering cold water and a Christmas cupboard that held fluffy fruits, oranges and bananas. Fruit corrupts, goes parched like paper, like skin, placing bets, buying drinks, staring at the ceiling, in the lee of his silent life, I am walking. I'll start up with a few poems about that immigrant experience that I grew up in. This one's called Telegrams. For immigrants, death came mainly in the post. A respectful knock on the door, a letter slipped beneath the seat. The telegrams would bring to mind the teleprinter, Uncle Dead stuff, Blues 6, Villa 2 stuff. Mostly bodies we didn't know, vague names, the sketched outlines in life, corporeal knowing now in death. For you, the death was an accusation, carelessly flung, final ripples of your estrangements. I thought this was obviously a piece of fiction, really good hope. The pub would be, it's a cliche, but it's unfortunately like a lot of cliches, it's very, very true. The pub would have been a huge part of the Irish immigrant experience, and it would have been both good and bad. It would have been both joyous and desperate, and in some way I tried to capture this, in this poem, and I don't really work here. It's called Cathedral Light. The cathedral light of a bar, secret smokers conspiring in the futility and abandon of afternoon drinking. No one phones. The television mute silences the counter periodically. Barley wine dreams of nothing. I beckon them over. Slip out a fag to drink the drinks. Gather round some dry clouds. Listen out, fellas. Listen good. I don't plan. This one's specifically about that strange Greek person who grew up in an Irish family in Britain, like me. I think a journalist one time called us the bastard children of England, the bastard children of Ireland, which appealed to me on loads of levels. It's called When the Irish Went to England to Have Children. I can't see in the dark. I can't see through mum's eyes or dad's. I thought my name, my black hair, maybe the way I walk, that phrase I use. I believe they would see my passport. What about that song I know? I thought standing at my grandmother's grave or reading all those books. I even believed I might go back to Mass, to the saints, school and confirmation. I thought drinking with my father, linking arms with my mother. I can't see in the dark. I can't see through dad's eyes or mouth. When I came back to Ireland myself, 10 years ago now, think that if Ireland was in full flow and the economy was booming and stuff, I support that what those people of my parents who left in the 50s and many after them since would have thought, you know, about the future that was had been created in their absence. Of course, what they know to say. And this is called to those who have inherited a country. If we'd known we'd stay, we could have lingered outside your electronic gates, built your crowded motorways instead of theirs. You would have had no need of East European nannies when there were so many slips of girls slipping away, leaving home. We'd only known we'd stayed. found when the collection came out that much to my surprise an awful lot of them were about family, and I think sometimes if you write then these things seep in without you even knowing it. You know, if art is too true then that's what happens. And these are some of the ones that I discovered I'd written about my family when I sat down. This is for the app. My brother knows how to jive. I saw him dancing in the backyard, shifting grace across the bare grounds, his suit jacket flapping. When men dance like that, they want to be their fathers, to stop them, all other movements. It is an act of delirium. This one is called Coach. My sister wears my father's coat. She halts and smells him. She rubs the scent of him between her fingers. He flows through silver rings. She is recalling the close of his palm. She wears my father, whatever the weather. I'm not going to even get to the claps or something. Called Imperial Rose. As an Irish family growing up in England, we lived on Imperial Rose, which I thought at some point historical resonance from Imperial. There was no river in my youth, no horse thief or chicken killing fox, but in our city backyard my father and I would sit at the lapping edge of the sea. Immigrants lose their minds in crossing, misplace them behind the drafty door, the damp place they leave. When belongings are eventually sent on, they are never unpacked for fear of what is broken. My father studied horses and hunches. My mother came ashore again below white clouds, trailing curled hair and a childhood, and she often halted there where the train was waiting. And then this one, for some reason my grandfather makes an appearance in the Tudor Squire, because I never met either of my grandfather, so I don't know what he's doing with it. It's a good job. I am whitewashing these walls with my grandfather's hands. These bristles bleaching, this songbird. Shade of stone, the moth revealed, I halt between colours. These bristles dripping, this branch. From my hand to the tree behind, I pass it on. To chlorophyll and bark, the colour of stone is gone. Those other things we do, the 12 hours ago, as if we couldn't control our lust and were lost. In making our ends meet. That is where pebbles begin to silt the chambers, where there is a crunch underfoot. And most days, we don't have the words for this, whether it's too cold for snow, or the Cuban fan whose torpid on the ceiling in the darkened car park of the hospital, or the camper van by a mountain lake. There's no point in asking. We are still, in truth, making our way back from mute exchanges in pubs, snooker halls and jobs. We've travelled this far in silence without metronome. There is simply no point in asking. I am whitewashing a wall with the little spotted hands halting between colours.
Newspaper and
got a number of poets together to write about the war in Afghanistan. He just, well, it's just out of your lives, really, isn't it? It's quite appalling. I mean, there's one of the poems was seemed to be a poet writing as if they were the mother of a dead soldier, which was just excellent. And it's comfortable to write about things far away, but politics is everywhere. And sorry, but I think silence is just not good enough, you know. If you want to create art, there's a great Irish poet, Michael Hartnett, and I think it was 15 or something. And it's called After Reading Michael Hartnett. I went on with it, didn't I? All of the temporary settlements we come to have the loving feel of permanence, with too much smell of cinnamon and coriander, honey, pinned and mounted butterflies, unwearable golden shoes, when this act, of all acts, is supposed to be a rebel act. Break camp. In the morning, we have to move on anyway. Overnight, the weather has changed. It's not a very good poem, but if there was one group in our society that are invisible and unrecognised, even more so than immigrants, which you might think in an immigrant community, it's asylum seekers. Asylum seekers moonshine. Here I am, arrogant, safe poet. Yes, praising rooks' nests as if the birds could speak. As if over the brow they were not living in small cells, waiting for memos to decide their fate. Here I am, in comfort, looking at moonshine as if the birds could speak. And, in response to the Michael McDougall's racist legislation, it's called Citizens. Who caught the boat at the end of the quay with pregnant women to red brick cities just across the sea? Who stayed home in the land of morals with the same old few, shared the same old quarrels? And who decided who would be the economic refugee? Even though this is about funerals, so I'm not totally miserable for that. It's called Spanish Heart. My husband's like a bleeding dodo, he said into my clean shaven face. It was a funeral, you said. Come and see my milky heaven, you whispered, laughing. And I was in past the pink door, away from the mourners. I'm a lady, you said, and this is my room. You were the only poet I've ever met, and the best. In there, the music was playing loud and cheap. It's chasing death away, you said, your harsh voice. Then you danced me with an expert hand, your cigarette weaving, and your smell was my head. I closed my eyes and rain hit the window while pipes flushed. We're in a waterfall, he said, taller than me in your shoes. I reached out to your tired hands, a ring on every finger. They love a funeral, he said. The drama keeps them going, but not me. I've got a Spanish heart. A Spanish heart. This book of mine came out last year. But obviously, prior to that, I was a poet looking for publishing house, looking for a home, or getting a home. And it's a very complicated business, you know, and just making a choice getting your words out there. And it's a shame that something such as poetry that seems to be such a conservative dead hand out there amongst so many of the publishing houses. And when you scroll down those websites and you're looking for somewhere that might even take a look at your manuscript, might even consider it, and you come across, we're not accepting any unsolicited submissions, although, well, the poets in charge of those publishing houses are publishing their own collections. And you have to wonder whether poetry itself might even try you not to investigate some of the
poetry
bring it on. You know, it's just the hunter. Go where there's no poetry. The only place worth looking. The cafe's boarded up place. By the wide, leafy addresses where you come across the poets who spring their classical serenities, let their tires burn. This isn't something to be polite about. Thank you very much.